name's Jody. I'm an addict. Miracles, miracles, miracles. So I kind of get present and kind of go with what I got at the moment. And this is probably going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. I'm a little bit more interactive. I can tell you a bunch of stories. I don't even shoot dope like good addicts. I'm a weird fuck. You know, let's just put it that way. Born November 5th, 1973, at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. Forever had this love affair with Dallas, and let me just sum that up by saying that, you know, Dallas is the kind of woman you date, and Austin's the kind of woman you marry. Ever since I was a kid, and, you know, and I'm going to share a lot of opinions. I suggest you get a sponsor or talk to your counselor about a lot of stuff, but we're going to knock some of this bullshit out that y'all hear a lot of, you know, and it's not carrying a message, but it's more spreading a rumor sometimes. You know, one thing that I kind of wanted to kind of go over is that, you know, it's about the similarities, not the differences. And we hear that and we talk about, you know, and I go to CA and, but there's pretty much just about any anonymous meeting going on at any point in time. I can probably fit in pretty well. You know, my truth was or is that, you know, I hear people say that, you know, they were born an addict or an alcoholic. Well, that makes about as much sense to me as being born a Republican. It's just not true. Now, biochemically speaking, we may be more adept to, you know, this, that, and the other. But the truth is that even the book talks about it centers in our mind. Well, our mind hasn't formed yet, right? And you don't have a disease that's killing you. You may be dying from a disease, and it's because it's progressive, yeah, as well as a few other things that make it a disease. But that's not what's killing you. What's killing you is you. And so what my truth was is that the number one fucking obstacle in my life, the hugest, most, the biggest fucking obstacle that I've ever had to deal with has always been me. And even now, you know, and the same fundamental truth since August 22nd, 2012, at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it hit me. I was on, I'd gotten off a Greyhound bus, a buddy of mine scooped me up in Plano, Texas. Swore to God I'd never go back to Collin County because they sent me to prison. Yeah, they sent me to prison a few years earlier, those bastards. But and that was the problem. I was in the wrong county, yeah. And here I find myself on Avenue K, which is like 4 blocks away from Plano PD, and I'm using my shoe for a pillow. Stinking of gin. I fucking hate gin. You know, and it's kind of like, I hate meth, but man, I'll shoot the fuck out of it. You know, I will cram a lot of it up my arm and then be mad at all of you. Going, you know what? We ain't smiled in 6 months. Fuck y'all. I'm out of here. Cause I thought we were supposed to be having fun and yeah. And then I go to the other side of town and I score some heroin and now I wake up in the emergency room and they're going, hey dude, this shit's gonna kill you. And I'm like, no, it's not. Cause y'all keep waking me the fuck up. And, you know, when I come in here, I'm warm and fuzzy and I don't know shit. And then y'all hit me with that shit and every pore of my body seems to just vacate. And then y'all give me a voucher. Well, and I happened to, because I'd been, you know, there towards the end, I was shooting so much meth that I'm about 155 pounds. And so I'd do a little heroin and boy, it just body's going, dude, we're done. And, you know, I'd fall over. And, my first step experience was getting off that Greyhound bus. You know, I don't act right because shit's going to be coming at me. You know, I have a well-known documented history of a lot of things, but being irrational, unreasonable. And I've also got a well-documented history of compliance rather than surrender. I'll comply. I'm going to act right long enough to shut you the fuck up, to get you up out of my shit so I can get back to doing what I want to do. But here's the crazy thing. What I want to do, when I give them the opportunity to do what I want, when I want, and how I want, man, I do crazy shit. And I do it to me, you know. And yeah, collateral damage, you know, family, cars, all that stuff. I've been in so many car wrecks. Clearly, car wrecks aren't going to kill me either. I just recently was in another one. And, you know, and everybody's like, well, at least you weren't hurt. I'm going, dude, I never get hurt. And that's, everybody's like, you need to be grateful for that. And I'm like, dude, it's just, it is what it is. And I am grateful, I guess, because I sure would not like to have a broke leg or anything right now. But anyway, so back to this first step experience. What happened was an epiphany. It was a lightning bolt moment for me. Now, I didn't understand it, so even if it happens to you, you're not going to fucking get it either. But it got my attention, and it changed. And my awareness became acutely defined. And there was this moment before that that nothing was different. And there was a moment after that that nothing was really different. And the only difference was my awareness. Because the truth is, I can't make myself give a fuck. And neither can any of y'all. Now, there are some of y'all that are in here because you're avoiding consequences just like I was. You know, I love fucking treatment. Hell yeah, come up in here. Nobody's going to come find me. You know, and then especially co-ed, you know. There's always that little distracting. But here's the other thing, was I got to fly under the radar just a wee bit because there's all kinds of crash test dummies in fucking rehab, you know. And y'all are drawing all the fucking heat because I don't give two shits about any of this. And I could talk, and you know, my first meeting was when I was about 17 years old, which was back in what, 90, 91? And I kind of went on a bet. Had nothing to do with me wanting to do anything different. And the truth was, I really didn't have a drug or an alcohol problem at the time. I earned every bit of my addiction. I hear people talking about, you know, first time I smoked crack, or of course, now, no, the first time I smoked crack, that was awesome. I remember just feeling like $1 million and wanting to share that idea. And then I remember about 4 minutes later, that shit was over with. And I thought, dude, do we got any more? And they're like, no. I was like, we got any more money? No. And I'm going, fuck, I get why y'all steal VCRs for this shit. And, you know, and then the next morning I woke up and I thought, man, I don't ever want to do that again. Because for a good portion, I kind of did things a little bit backwards. You know, I dealt drugs first and then started doing them later. And then I saw a lot of people that got, you know, I'm having to get people out of their attics. It's like, dude, you can't shit in a box in your attic. You got to come on out. And I'm thinking, I don't ever want to be this guy. And, but, you know, as time went on, I experimented. I wasn't born with a healthy sense of fear, so I was getting to it eventually. So, that 4 o'clock in the afternoon, August 22nd, 2012, I realized that I didn't realize anything. What I knew in that moment was I was working very hard for a reality that it was very miserable, that I didn't enjoy, that I didn't like, that I couldn't remember really when the last time I had enjoyed or liked any of it. I mean, my life, I mean, fuck, fill in the blank, any of it. I mean, you know, and I would go places to get high, or I'd go score dope and, you know, and go hide, you know, because I don't know. I like to get high by myself because y'all annoy the shit out of me. And every time it says in that preamble at CA is, you know, not whether or not I would have partied with these people. Fuck no, I wouldn't have partied with y'all. Cause I would have gone and gotten my shit, and I would have only tolerated you if I had to. But I just, and that's the strange thing about my thing, is that I was trying to get, there's this like magical place of highness that I was trying to get to. And if I ever got there, I was either vapor locked, you know, for like hours, and I, you know, stood in the same spot in the bathroom, you know, and or I would be so high that time would just disappear, and it's like, fuck, it's been, you've been in here for 3 days. Or, you know, if I didn't flop and hit my head and all that shit, because I'm smoking crack and shooting heroin, and, you know, I'm like, all right, well, let's break down the heroin, or break down the crack, and then let's, yeah. And I had a real bad habit of doing a lot of different ones at a lot of at the same time, you know. And so when, you know, and then I would go places to where, like, people would take all their clothes off when they got high, and I just was like, no, I'm not here for that. What are y'all doing, you know? I mean, if that's what I wanted to do, I would go somewhere to go do that, but I'm in the middle of something, you know? You know, and so then I'm just like, okay, well, you know, but I'm not leaving, right? You know, and it's like, okay, well, y'all just got to do what you do. Don't mind me. And so even in these places, I don't quite fit in, you know? And then when I go to jail, I don't quite fit in because my heart and soul ain't really into all that either, you know? And the thing is my heart and soul is only in one spot. And that's my own self-destruction. And that's the only real addiction I've really got. And because when I look over and over and I, you know, we can change the details and we, you know, fill in the fucking blanks and whatever I was into at that moment. And I tell guys today, it's like, dude, you never win. Every time you go out there and you chase her or you go do that or you go, you never win. 10 years I've known you, you've never won. I mean, you've never come up. You've never even had this plateau of a moment of going, oh, yeah, this is, we're going to ride this out. This is going to be cool. And, I mean, you, that's never happened. I mean, within 72 hours, you're going, fuck. God damn. You know, and it's like, dude, do you remember these conversations? We've had these before. And because I tell you what, I mean, if you're one of my people and you relapse, I don't give a fuck. I still take your calls. You know, I may not participate with your shit, but I ain't cutting you off. You know, I still come meet you, buy you a cheeseburger. I'll give you money. I don't give a fuck. You know, because tough love, I don't know. This is one of those opinions. Yeah, I hope there's probably some Al-Anons in here that's going to put a hit out on me here in a minute. But, you know, fuck tough love. You know, because if everybody was on that tough love bandwagon, nobody would have found me and scooped my ass up and put me on that Greyhound bus and sent my ass to Austin going, look, dude, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. I love you. You deserve better than this. Here's $20. Don't smoke it up. Get to Austin because why? About May 2009, him and I went through Austin Recovery out here at the ranch. And out of, I don't know, there's about 35, 40 of us assholes out here. And we didn't have chicks back then, so welcome. You know, so we just all had to, you know, do our own shit. But, and a lot of us had just gotten out of prison or we were just about to go into prison. But I tell you what landed me here that time. Has anybody ever had their mom or dad say, look, I fucking sleep better when you're in jail? Okay. Yeah, I said, Mom, will you tell Justin, who's my brother, because I was like $20 short of making bail because why? I'd gotten two DWIs in 3 days and got one on a Sunday, but I wasn't drunk. So let's be clear. I wasn't drunk. I was dying of liver failure due to Hep C I caught on Christmas Eve. 2008, and here this was March 15th, and I'm glowing in the fucking dark, and I, you know, and I'm on a job site, and my boss, my manager, had gone to the owner and said, you got to come get this guy, because we're telling him, hey, Jody, don't you feel bad? I'm like, motherfucker, I ain't feel good in 10 years. What are you talking about, you know? And he's like, well, maybe you need to go to the hospital, and I'm going, I got shit to do. And so then boss man shows up and he's going, Jody, get the fuck off my job site and go to the hospital. And so then they admit me, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've never been in the hospital before. I've been to jail. So I start taking off my belt, my shoelaces. I give them my phone, and they're all looking at me. Anyway, I get in this room, and they tell me I'm dying. And I'm going, no, I'm not. Really? And they're going, yeah, Jody, don't you feel bad? And I'm going, wow, no. I mean, yeah, yes, I don't know. Because I didn't know. I mean, I didn't feel good, but I couldn't remember the last time I felt good anyway. You know, really. Well, because there was just shit dope out there where I was at. It was the truth. You know, there wasn't any good dope out there. That's why I hadn't felt good in a long time. Out there in the country. But, you know, my mom and dad, they just got that thousand-yard stare. Because, fuck, they ain't ever known what to really do with me. You know, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to think. And so I get these two DWIs in 3 days, and I've got a kick-ass story I'm not going to go into on how I used the system against itself. And anyway, I won. And I have 2 second convictions. So I got one when I was 17, and I have a total of 3 DWIs, and I have 2 second convictions, and we won't get into the rest of that. But I've never gone from court to curb in so fast in my life. And I was king ding-a-ling. Until I got on that curb, and then it was like, all right, now what do you got? And I thought, man, I ain't got nothing. So that was 2009. I didn't get sober till 2012. So, it was brutal before it got any better. But my mama says, well, we've been talking, and we've got an idea if you're open to discuss it. And I said, okay. And she goes, well, your dad, call your dad tomorrow. He'll come get you from wherever you're at, and we'll talk. And basically the conversation went like this. Look, we figure a decent funeral is going to cost about $10,000, and we found a treatment center for about $7,800. So which one you want to do? Because that's kind of where it's at. And I said, well, and of course, again, they don't really realize I love treatment. I'm cool with treatment. I eat. Everybody leaves me alone. Nobody's looking for me. Fuck yeah. And I get to come up with a game plan because guess what? I'm smarter than the average bear. And I'm so fucking smart, I will burn this to the fucking ground. Just watch me. And I'm the guy that builds the big badass house on the hill and to where my mama says, Jody, I'm done dreaming. I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of watching you rise like the meteoric rise that you're potentially capable of. And then you're just almost there, and it's like, you know, from the cartoons, you just spit and sputter, and you blow it all to hell, and I'm over it. You know, and this is after the, you know, I sleep better when you're in jail, and I'm tired. And anyway, so they got me a plane ticket. I came down here, and I had a spiritual experience at the end of this little, where the steps are. With all my stuff. Richard Trevino still work around here? Okay. Well, he used to drive the little bus. I know he's still around somewhere. He used to drive the bus, and of course he told me his crazy story on the way out here. But I remember I had my bags, and right about them steps, something hit me. And I just, you know, I call it a spiritual awakening. And it lasted for a little bit. I mean, it lasted, I don't know, a good week to 10 days. And then me and my ego got together, my inner attorney, as I like to call it, and we decided to better deal that shit. You know, it's like, hey, we can use this. We'll put it on tap. Yeah, we can use that kind of a knowing, that awakening, that power if we get in a bind. because, once again, I'm just complying. You know, I'm trying to, you know, and we've all got an agenda. Every single one of y'all in here has got an agenda. Regardless of how fucked up it is or isn't, doesn't matter. Whatever story you're telling yourself, it's true or not true. It's whatever you're going to figure it out to be. I'm going to tell you, the only magic you're going to find is from within yourself. And so it took about 10 months. I was, I got a job, and I did things, right? I went to meetings, I worked steps, and blah, blah, blah. I made this decision that I was going to stop being the smartest motherfucker in the room. And so I get this day labor job, and I'm just the cut guy. And I'm on this UT Art project building, or project at the UT Art building. And they got me cordoned off. I'm quarantined. I'm just got levels of cover, and I'm just cutting shit for these guys. And the guy didn't know how to read blueprints, and I can see he's screwing it up. And I'm just going, Jody, shut the fuck up. Don't be the smart guy anymore. And for some reason, I guess somehow some intelligence kind of fell out the back of my helmet or something, because they wound up firing everybody and then made me the superintendent on this project. And I still kind of don't really know how or why, but I really was qualified to do it. And, you know, they're like, what do you need? What do you want? And I was like, I don't know, company truck, you know, couple grand a week, you know, and they're like, okay. And I'm going, fuck, maybe I should ask for more. And then within, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I got a guy gives me $40,000, buys me a truck, and says, let's start a business together. I'm like, okay. So I'm president of the Austin chapter, Oxford group. I had a couple service commitments that I was doing and all that. And so once I kind of got that lick, right, now I could go back to doing what I wanted to do. So I groomed somebody to become the chapter president. I handed off I paid all my rent, and I gave my notice. I followed all the things, and I went to Dallas, and there was a 10 o'clock candlelight meeting a couple blocks away from this bar I like to hang out at. And I remember sitting out in front of that bar, listening to the radio in my new truck, and I wanted to go in there, and I knew, you know, I was going to drink, I was going to buy Coke, I was going to do what I do. And I remember going, Jody, there's a candlelight meeting. Now, it has been for years right up the road, and you don't have to go in there. And so there's no mental blank spot, you know, but there really kind of is, because I'm still trapped by this idea that I have. My prejudices and the differences are still killing me. So I don't have any real mental clarity, just because I remember the clock and I remember what I was thinking. And the truth was, I'd already made the decision. I was going in there. We just, for posterity, had the conversation in the truck, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have fucking parked in front of the bar. I mean, I could have parked around a neutral spot if there was any, but that wasn't happening. So after about 10 months, this is about 2010, you know, I do my thing, and it starts making sense to just hide in the hotel rooms or whatever, because I'm saving money. I'm not getting DWIs. I'm not blowing all this money at the bar. I'll just go ahead and buy a bunch at once, and I don't have to keep coming out here and doing this shit. And, God, it was horrible, and it lasted for about 2 years. And, you know, I hear people talk about, you know, you were willing to go to any lengths to stay high, and it's like, no, it wasn't. And I'm going to tell you, here's the similarities with all of us. We've all done some fucked up, horrible shit we had rather not have done. We've all crossed some lines that we kind of thought we probably wouldn't cross at some point, but then when we did, it didn't quite look like we thought it was going to look or feel. And then, one way or the other, it still was shameful. You know, and we still kind of whatever, but I'm already here. You know, I mean, okay, let's talk about tomorrow. here's some of the cliches that I can't stand is, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. How many of y'all agree with that? Y'all are full of shit. Because what about me? And what about you that knows what's fucking coming and you do it anyway? Okay? So here's the truth. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, wanting a different result, but not fucking doing anything different. Okay? So all of you shaking your head, you got an inner 8-year-old like I do going, no, but fuck that. You know, I don't know why I can't get high or I can't do my thing, whatever that thing is. I mean, whether you've got clothes on or not, I mean, it just doesn't matter. I don't know why I can't do my thing and then do what you need me to do, too. And what's one got to do with the other? And I never really did figure it out because it never really worked, you know. And I clean up well, you know. One of my favorite, the diet I was on there for a while was after I'd hit that power nap, man, I'd wake up, give me a big old green tea and two packs of fucking peanuts for $1, 26 grams of protein. I felt like $1 million. I'm on, you know. And God, I mean, I used to just have empty packs of peanuts and 20-ounce Arizona green teas everywhere. But, you know, after a little bit of sleep, couple packs of peanuts, a little bit of green tea, I can act right again for a minute, you know. But I tell you what my number one character defect is, and I don't know, maybe you can relate. I'm consistently inconsistent. I can act right. I mean, especially if it's despite you. If it's about fuck you, pay me, yeah, I'll act right. And I mean, blow the odds and all those stats. Because, you know, deep down inside, I'm on this other level of what I think it is. And the truth is, I'm missing the point. So the first three steps for me is I'm fucked and there's not a whole lot I seem to be able to do about it. That's step one. That's that haunting, open-minded realization that, guess what? So, well, let me back up here. How many of y'all been in places like this before? Be honest. Okay. Let the record reflect most of us. How many of y'all been in places like this more than twice? Let the record reflect most of us. Okay. Whatever you're doing is not working. Okay. So now that we got that, all right, because I saw male and female hands. How many of y'all would say you're Christians? How many of y'all don't really give a shit about that whole subject? Okay, well, guess what? Whatever you're doing is not working. You know, I was in prison one time, and this guy, you know, we're all sitting around, of course, we all have these ideas, you know, fuck, we're all wearing white, you're surrounded by white, and it's just crazy. But we're all trying to define our identity and tell ourselves some version of something to make it through that situation, you know. And this guy said, you know what, I don't give a fuck what you did, why you did it, when you did it, where you grew up and all that, because right now you're wearing white, man. I mean, you got chow time, same time I got it, so it doesn't matter, you know? And that's just it. There's whatever you think it is, I'm going to bet it's probably not what you think it is. And what's really killing you is all the shit you think it is. Because it's not really the big things. It's not him. It's not her. It's not mom and dad. You know, because I had a good fight. And come to find out, there's only about four or five things that are really jamming all of us up. And we all got our own little four or five things. We're not going to get into what I think yours are. But in the end, there were some beliefs that I took on that just really weren't mine. And at a young age, I took on, you know, I grew up in a religious household. And God loves you, but you're probably going to fucking burn anyway. You know? But goddamn it, keep trying. You know? And it's like, okay. And then, you know, let's fake it till we make it. All right, I'm going to go to church camp. And we'll go to Bible study and we'll do all that. And it's like, and I don't feel the way y'all feel. I'm not registering the shit y'all are registering. So I must be those other people that y'all talk bad about. And that was a belief I took on at a young age. And that was a huge part of why I stuck a needle in my arm and drank so fucking long that I didn't like it. And it's because somehow and at some point I accepted that I must be those people. You know, now does that mean I'm not an addict and I can fucking drink and no, that doesn't mean any of that shit. Because I'm gonna tell you why I'm standing here. I'm not standing here because I decided I'm never gonna drink and do drugs again. And if that's why you're here, good luck with that shit. Cause who gives a fuck? Cause then you're just an asshole that don't drink and do drugs. You know? And the truth is, man, that's selling a lot of this shit short. Because The odd thing that we're getting to, I've alluded to it a couple of times about that first death experience, is that I'm the architect of all of this. It is what I think it is. And you are the master of your own reality, and you get to choose whatever it is you fucking want. And we talk, you hear people talking, you know, let's talk about God for a second, because fuck that, right? You really, prayer, meditation, all that, fuck, prayer and medication, you know. In which I'm going to say this, I am on medication, and I've worked with a nurse practitioner since the day I got sober. And you work with a professional. Some of us are untreated in some other areas, and that's a piece of our story. And you need to let qualified professionals do that. But you also have got to get balanced and centered within yourself to trust your instincts. Because guess what? You got some good ones. You just don't know how to use them anymore. And so don't let sponsors try to give you medical advice, because fuck that. They're not doctors. And if they are doctors, then they need to set an appointment for that and not sponsor you. So there are places that I tell you, you're not clean and sober because you take medication. And that's none of my business. It's nobody's business. You and your healthcare professional and your sponsor, y'all do need to talk about it, because you need to hold yourself accountable for that. And there is going to come a time to where I don't give a fuck how many meetings you go to and how many times you come out here and get marbles and pass out marbles, you're going to need another professional to help you look at some other aspects of life. And that's going to be a therapist of some sort. And I knew when my first step experience popped, I remember this is how it went down. Step 1, 2, and 3 hit me all at once. You're fucked, and there's not a whole lot you seem to be able to do about it, because there is a point and you're missing it. And whatever you're doing just doesn't seem to be working. Period. And now, if any of y'all can relate to that, then all you have to do now is become willing to be willing to believe that anything is possible. That whole God idea, that shit ain't none of my business, ain't none of yours either. We all sit around and pontificate, and God's this, and God's showing me that. You know, when the fuck did you get in on that? You know, I mean, you never had a view of it before. You know, now all of a sudden you got some ideas of, well, this is what God's tried to show me, you know. Whatever version of that story you're telling yourself, you know, that's probably not going to work either. But what has worked for me is that I'm the number one obstacle. I'm in the fucking way. And so guess what? Here's the good news. All you got to do is get the fuck out of the way. That's all you got to do. Now, how do I get in the way? I use what I think and how I feel for a compass. I think that what I think and how I feel means something. And that it, you know, I'm going to let you in on something. Your feelings are valid. They just ain't fucking relevant. They've got very little to do with what you're going to do now. August 22nd, 2012, it hit me. It's like, Jody. And I immediately, what laid out before me was I connected all the dots. I didn't connect the dots. The dots connected themselves, and I happened to see it. Because, you know, for some reason, I was beaten into a state of reasonableness, right? Shoe for a pillow, all that shit, yeah. But I'm going to tell you, and never mind the guy that tried to rob me at knife point the night before, and I started laughing at him. And, you know, and this is about 15 minutes after I was at some crack house over off MLK in Dallas, and there was a lot of crazy shit going on, but for some reason that dude stuck that pistol in my face and told me I had to go. And I remember going, why I gotta go? And then I find myself at that train station about to be robbed, and I'm just like, really, dude? We're both having a fucked up day. I remember that's what I told him. And, you know, and he pulled his ski mask down, and I remember thinking, do people really use ski masks still? Yeah. And he pulls out this big knife, and I'm thinking, well, I guess they do. Ski mask and a knife. And I was like, okay. But thing was, when he did that, I couldn't understand a word he said. So I was like, do what? And then, I wasn't born with a healthy sense of fear because I'm just, I mean, it's not even registering that this might not be a good moment, Jody, you know, that you should run or I don't know. Because I remember being very casual about it and still trying, and I was still trying to wonder what happened. And there's a real high probability in a blackout drunk, I slapped shit out of somebody and took their pipe and their dope at that last place I was at. And that's why I got the, because I mean, there was ugly, weird, I don't want to go in details, but there was some funky shit going on around me when I come to going, what? Well, I got to go. So that's August 21st, 2012. And August 22nd, there's that lonely, empty feeling. I don't have anything else. 2 months before that, I'm in jail. And I'd gotten a public, I think I got a public intox and also a theft of service because I got drunk at a bar and I was going to walk my tab. And I didn't... But I didn't realize that they were kind of closing or getting close. I was the only motherfucker in the bar. You can't really, they're all waiting for me to pay. And I'm just like, what? And then add insult to injury, my lawyer later tells me I tried to pay with a food stamp card. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, why'd you try to pay with your food stamp card? And I said, well, hey. I don't know what to tell you, but I've never had food stamps. I said, I don't know where I got a food stamp card. And he goes, do what? And I said, man, I said, I got manufacturing with intent. I got all kinds of drug cases. They don't give us food stamps. So I don't know where the food stamp card came from. And I said, so I guess it didn't work, huh? So anyway, they were going to let me out of jail. And I remember... Everybody, they give you your sentence, you know, 35 days or whatever. And everybody would come back from court and they'd serve. They'd get the calendar out and they'd do the math, you know, and they'd go, I'm getting out on this day. And it never failed. And I think they did it on purpose, fuck with them, but it never failed. You never got out on the day you thought you were getting out. And I remember my day getting closer and me dreading it. I ain't gonna get out of jail. And I've never in my life not wanted to get out of jail. I mean, anything's better than this fucking shit, but I was scared to go back out there. I ain't got nothing else. I mean, I got licks. I got hustle. I mean, there's shit to do, but I'm lost and I don't know what to do anymore. And that was a couple months before August 22nd, 2012. And at that moment, I have a real when I saw that, you know, I seem to be fucked and I don't know what to do about it and that I'm missing the point, and that there really is a point. I just don't know what it is. And that, you know, I've got to try something different, which translates to the third step of I'm going to turn my will and my life over to the care of not Jody. Because clearly, and then this is the next thing. This is crucial. Because this is a big piece of it for me. And you'll hear people talk about you got to come up with this concept of God. And you can do it if you want. I mean, follow instructions. But I would highly suggest you come up with a concept of you. You got to... Okay, I'll shut up. I thought that was somebody else. I'm thinking, y'all need to turn your damn phone off. I'm talking. But... I remember coming to just realizing that I had to come up with something. And it was like, well, Jody, if you were to walk up to you on, you know, just third independent review to walk up and go, let's do an assessment on this cocksucker and see what's going on here. What would you think? And I thought, well, clearly he exhibits the behavior that has no self-respect, doesn't give a fuck, seems to not care very much about himself. You know, and it just started flowing, and I'm going, oh, wow. And it's like, well, what do I do? And it's like, well, I don't know. What would a motherfucker that gives a shit about himself do? And a huge part of the first couple weeks was what does that guy do? Because I don't know what that looks like. Because my behavior tells me contrary to all that shit. And so I thought, man, I'm onto something. And I recognized that whatever that was that awakened within me, I see it as the spiritual aspect of who I am. I don't know that I really need much of a third party outside of me to qualify or validate any of that. There is something that got my attention, and I realized that the only reason it didn't have my attention before is because I was pretty fucking pissed off about a lot of shit. And I was pretty apathetic, and for those that don't know what apathetic means, you can't seem to give a fuck about things you should give a fuck about, and I just can't give a fuck. And for some reason, all of a sudden, I started giving a fuck. And I didn't want to lose that. And so I'm standing here today because of that fundamental thing, is that something told me there's something in between what you think and how you feel is the truth. There's, you know, you hear there's three sides to every story and versions and all that. Same thing with you. You know, there's what you want, there's what you don't want, there's what you need and what you don't need. And then there's the reality. And that's why your feelings, fuck your feelings. You know? They're really, I'm going to tell you the real truth about feelings. They're just check engine lights. They're indicators to adjust accordingly. And no one else is responsible for them but you. Okay? So, that started my journey. And I remember the journey, wow, I just got real overwhelmed with, it's been pretty crazy. I'm currently standing in front of you, let me get those last 2 minutes and tell you about my federal indictment. Just because you get your shit together, guess what? I'm consistent today. People can set their watch by me. I pay my bills. I work hard. And I do what's necessary, and I do what's important, and I really don't get all off into my feelings about much of it anymore, because it really doesn't matter. Because I serve a greater purpose, and I serve a greater good. It may not be your job to save save babies from burning buildings, okay, or to save the world. It might be your job to hold the door for the guy that does need to save the baby from the burning building, but it could simply be, don't fucking park in the fire lane. But it's not you don't get to pick and decide all of that. But by you being balanced, by you getting the fuck out of your own way, you start being of use to yourself and others. And you start finding yourself in these moments of service. And at I go see my pretrial release officer, and I'm there out of service. What can I do to help your job be? How can I be the easiest part of your equation today, sir? Even though I fucking hate those people, you know? They're trying to lock me up, so shut up, you know? And that's not because my sponsor said that. It's because I live a life based upon these principles. And these principles, man, nine times out of 100, they work. They don't steer me wrong. Now, I tell you, I got on the indictment thing real quick. This has been a crazy journey, and a lot of miracles and a lot of wild stuff's happened. I shouldn't even be standing here to begin with, because I was up to catch a 4-year sentence about a year sober for some shit I did before I got sober. And I went and told the judge, I said, fuck yeah, I did it, a lot of it. And I was ready to go to jail. And he said, man, I'm going to give you 4 years probation. I wasn't even eligible for it. So I got 4 years probation. At 2 years, I hadn't even filed the paperwork. And he sent me the paperwork through and released me. I didn't even have to get another attorney. Didn't have to pee in a cup. I didn't have to do anything. I just acted right, and it kind of went away, which turned out to be a dress rehearsal for the federal thing I'm going through now. I thought I was really going to be a part of something cool. I still stand behind every fucking decision I made. And unfortunately, part of that was I was in with a bad business partner that did some money laundering and committed a lot of fraud. And I play a part. I don't play as big of a part as it looks, but I play a part. And I'm willing, out of service, to do whatever I need to do to make that go away. And I know how to do time. And trust me, this is some white-collar bullshit. So as long as it ain't out at Texas Domino College, I think I'll be okay, because that shit sucked. And, you know, and I'm making light of it because it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you this, but I'm looking at a 5-year maximum sentence. 53 months is probably the max. That isn't happening. It's just not. But it doesn't matter, because guess what? It's got no relevance on what do you got right now, Jody? Because let's say they give me the max. And what you going to do today? Same thing I've been doing. Well, let's just say they go, hey, Mr. Sheffield. Oh, I said my last name. It's all been a misunderstanding. And we can clearly see you didn't mean to do this on the grounds you were just kidding. No. But, you know, that, you know, somehow I win and I walk away from this, you know. I still ain't got dick to do with now. What you got today, Jody? You know, I got to go talk out here at AR today. And even though, you know, this last time I went, it was at Cross Park, they almost didn't want to let me in because they gave me some Ativan, and I'm not nice on Ativan. I'm just not nice in general. But Ativan makes it worse. But, you know, I'm so grateful for a lot of things today, man, and the people I've got in my life and the things that have transpired and the relationships I've managed to rebuild. And, you know, nothing has me imprisoned like it did before. I'm a free man today, literally. And here's the crazy thing. There is not a fucking thing those people can do to me that beats the shit out of anything I did to me. And so as long as I stay out of the way, as long as you stay out of the way and get out of your way and start letting you be the person you're capable of being and enjoying the life, because life's too goddamn short. You're not supposed to be miserable. I promise you. Swear. I promise. And, you know, mama will tell you, you know, God's got a plan for you, because she tells me all the time. You know? And I don't know, because that's none of my business. But how I show up today is, and I do whatever I can to remove, you know, how am I the easiest part of this equation today? And that is, I show you respect, because the way I treat you says, is how I see me. Because I show you respect because you deserve it and I deserve it too, you know. And who knows, you know, we live to fight another day. And sometimes you don't get what you want, but like you even know what the fuck you want anyway. Because I didn't, and I still kind of don't. But I know I'm grateful for everything I've got today. And I'm grateful that people want to hear me. People ask me to come talk. And I'm glad all of y'all are here. And I'm going to tell you, if you're sober right now, you don't ever have to go back to that shit. You can volunteer for it, though. I mean, fuck. Thin the herd. Go after and get it. I mean, you can't make yourself give a fuck, and I get that. But I'll hug your neck and take your call, whether you're drunk or high or not. That's all I got.